turn number 23.
Good to be here tonight, and it's good to see each and every one of you. I thought we would start with a song of praise, a song that describes the excellent nature of God's person and of His character. And as we talked about yesterday, that's what this week is about. It's not just about learning the rudiments or the principles of music, but about learning how we can better praise our God. And we're going to do a lot of talking about principles of music. We're going to start out basic tonight, and as we build throughout the week, we're going to have some repetition, because repetition is learning, and we're going to add things every night. And I'm going to hopefully challenge some of you this week. If you're really understanding of music and of how to read music, and you've taken choir or band, I'm probably not going to teach you a whole lot that's new this week as far as music is concerned. I had a young girl tell me after singing church, she said, "I didn't learn anything." I said, "Well, you are listening." Because it's not just about that, okay? It's not just about learning music. And let's focus upon learning how to better serve our God as we learn better about music. I will tell you, if you're not very familiar with music and you're worried about messing up, don't worry about that. I promise you, I will mess up before the week's out if I don't mess up more than once. And that's okay. We're going to mess up some. But let's all learn together and let's all try, okay? Let's all try. I've had people tell me, I can't learn music. I'm too old, or I've tried. I don't learn it. Well, try anyway, okay? We're going to try together and see what we can learn this week. Could you click on that monitor, please? Thank you, sir. Hebrews chapter 13 and 5, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." God looks at our singing. He looks at the praise that we give him as a sacrifice. And we need to give a sacrifice that is worthy, because our God is worthy. Let's sing another song. Let's sing number 167. Do y'all sing this? We're going to. We're going to sing some new songs this week as well. I'll have some printouts during the week. There'll be some songs that aren't in this book that I'm going to use specifically for learning purposes. And I will tell you that, in my opinion, the best way for us to learn music is to learn a concept and then apply that concept. And so we're going to do that with some familiar songs so we can see what it looks like in the book, as well as learn some new songs to help us put those things into application as we're learning new songs. 167.
Okay, we'll sing this through and we'll see how it goes. And then we'll maybe slow down and try to learn some of the parts if we need to.
Reason there's a space there is because that's what
words go. And we'll get into that more in detail in just a moment. These actually fit together, and there's just one line between them. They're made up of bars and measures. These bar lines tell us when the start of a measure or the end of a measure has occurred. And everything in between is a unit of measurement. I will tell you something right now. Music is math. And someone goes, oh, great. It's not complicated math. It's math. And it's mostly fractions. And it's not complicated fractions. Typically in our song books, it goes up to about 16. And that's about the highest number you have to deal with. Now, there's some newer songs that have 30-second notes in them, but most of our songs don't have anything that quick. And so we're not talking about algebra. We're not talking about advanced calculus here. We're just talking about some simple mathematics. And that's what these lines are there for. It's to tell us when we're supposed to start singing, when we're supposed to stop singing, when a measure has ended. And if you look right here, you've got what's called a time signature. Now, this is really small on this screen, and I apologize for that. But look in your book on the same page in 167. Be a little bit easier for you to see if it's in front of your face, I'm sure. 167, Hosanna. If you look up in the top left corner of the grand staff, right there to the right of the treble clef and to the right of the bass clef, there's a 4 and a 4. And that's called the time signature. What that's gonna tell us how many beats are gonna be inside that measure. It's also gonna tell us what note gets one beat. We're gonna get into that here in just a moment. But I want you to see that because what that's going to tell us is if that number right there is a 4 on top, there's not going to be more than 4 beats between these bar lines. You'll never see more than 4 beats unless they notate it differently and they say, okay, this one measure is 5-4, 6-4, and they may do that from time to time. There's some songs in here that during the middle of your song, it just switches time signature for one measure, and then all of a sudden it changes back. But that's a constant. It's a consistent. And so if you know what your time signature is, you can know how many counts are inside of that measure. Okay. Clear as mud, right? Don't worry. We're going to slow down. Okay, these are called ledger lines. And a ledger line is used to notate a note that's outside of that grand staff. Now, I'm not going to try to demonstrate that note up high. For one thing, I couldn't. Secondly, you'd all just laugh. And we might laugh later, but you don't want to laugh at that. This note down here actually, whoops, clicked the wrong button. This note down here under the treble clef is actually getting inside of the bass staff. So it's not a note that's unsingable. It's actually a note that we would sing. But there's only going to be one note per ledger line. They're not going to put a big long line across here and put a bunch of notes. It's just going to be one little line with one note. Okay? Now look again on your book. In your book, you're going to see some of these ledger lines. Right as we get to the chorus, look at the tenor part, which is the top of the bass clef section, right under the word Lord, and you see there's a note there on a little line. That's a ledger line, okay? And that line actually is called middle C, where that line is. Middle C is right here. I keep pushing the wrong button. I'm glad it doesn't blank the screen because we'd just be flashing the screen off and on up here. Middle C is right here. It'd be the first line under the treble clef, and it'd be the first line on top of the bass clef because they actually fit together, and they just run, one runs into the other. And each one of these lines is not just some random line. Each one of these lines represents a certain pitch, a certain tone. And the way that I was taught to remember this, and you probably were taught differently because I went to school a long time ago and some of you are probably still in school, was every good boy does fine. I don't know, maybe they haven't changed that. And that's how I remember the lines. The spaces in between spell the word face. If you look, it goes F-A-C-E. Now, why do we need to know that? Well, if you were trying to learn to pitch a song, you might need to know that. Because we're singing a cappella and we're using shape notes, you probably don't care. And you know, when I'm learning a new song, I'm not necessarily reading the actual letters like we would if we were doing on an instrument or on a piano. I'm actually looking at the shape notes, and we're gonna learn more about shape notes than we are this. I just want you to get familiar with the grand staff and see that it's fluid, that it all runs together. Okay.
So if we have an E here, the space below that would be a D, and then you have middle C, and then you drop down into the bass, and you'd have B in this space right here, and then A, and then it runs down. Now, good boys do fine always was how I was taught to remember that. I can't remember. All cows eat grass, I think was what our music teacher taught us. We thought that was silly, but I still remember it, so it must have worked, right? And that's really what these things are about. They're not about coming up with the best saying you can. It's just about having something that you can remember so that it'll help you learn and memorize what that means. So put together, if we didn't have the big space for the words, this is what it would look like there with middle C. And there's sort of a misnomer about middle C. A lot of people believe it's called middle C because it's in the middle of the piano. And it's actually not in the middle of the piano. It's close to the middle. But it's called middle C because it's in the middle of the grand staff. And a lot of our songs are in the key of C. And you say, well, why are you telling us about all this? And I'll show you in a minute why I'm telling you about all this. It's actually going to be helpful for you, especially if you're at home and you're trying to learn a song. Okay, so our notes aren't all round. And, you know, I grew up looking at shape notes and learning music via shape note. And I had a brilliant music teacher. You wouldn't think a brilliant music teacher would be in the small town of Allison, Texas, where I graduated in class of five. But she was brilliant. She could sit down and take a complicated piece of music that she'd never played before and play it on the piano without even practicing it. She was brilliant. But when I put shape notes in front of her, it was like I put German in front of her. She did not understand it. So this is a language, and that's really what music is. Music is math, but music is a language. And it's a language that we can all learn, and we can all sing together. If we went to Germany, and they had a piece of music, they could read the same language we could. And that's something that's unique about music, is you could put a lot of people in the same room, and none of them could speak the same language, but they could all play the same piece of music or sing the same piece of music, because music is a language. Okay, we're going to work on a song that has some varying parts in it. What I'm going to start out doing is we're going to all learn the melody. And once we all learn the melody, we're going to sing in unison. Once we learn that, then we're going to learn this other part. And I'm guessing some of you already know this. And after that, we're going to let the men sing the top part. Ladies are going to come in and sing the bottom part, and then we're going to swap, okay? All right.
We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Okay, got that part? Not too hard. All right, now. The other part is going to sound this. I'm catching my breath.
Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever.
So that's going to go on while the top part is being sung, okay? All right. So let's try it. And we're going to let the ladies sing the melody. And I'm going to start it. We'll sing through it twice, and then y'all keep carrying it, and then I'll start in with the men to help us kind of learn our timing where we're supposed to go. So y'all keep singing the top part, okay?
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God.
I'm taking my best off. Okay, so again, this probably is small, and some of you in the back probably can't even read what that says, but we'll have another slide in a moment. But this is what shape notes look like, and shape notes inside of our books are not just random shapes, but they're shapes that we can look at and we can recognize, and we know automatically, no matter what key the song is, we can know where a certain pitch is. This works out really well, especially because 10 of us could all lead the same song and maybe lead it in 5 different keys. And so it's not necessary that we actually know whether something's in E or B or C, but we know where we're at relative to where they pitch the song. So that's where shape notes are very helpful for a cappella music. So as we look at these shapes, and I've put the do's in red so that we know where our octave starts and stops. That's not my two. Is that your two? My screen froze. There we go. Thank you. Okay, so most of our songs, you can find the key of the song by finding do. Okay? If you can find the triangle, and you can look on the song, and you can find the line where do is, you'll know that's what key the song is in. However, sometimes a song is in what's called a minor key, which we'll talk about later in the week, and then you're having to look for la to find the key. We're not going to worry about that tonight, okay? We're just going to worry about do, okay? So, do is where we typically try to find our key, and then we try to pitch the song in relation to wherever do is, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to practice singing different pitches relative to do, okay? So let's get familiar with the shapes. I'm not going to assume everybody is familiar with the shapes, so let's get familiarized with the shapes. So, now I will tell you, my kids have made fun of me 20 different times for what I'm about to do. I don't care. It's okay. I don't care if you think I'm a nerd or a dork or whatever. I'm going to tell you this so you remember it. That, again, I don't care if it's funny. I just care if you remember it. Okay, so do looks like a triangle. Ray looks like a bowl of ramen noodles. No, Ian, it's ramen noodles. I know that. Maybe it's a bowl of raisin bran. I don't care. But it looks like a bowl, so just remember that Ray is a bowl. It's a bowl of raisin bran, if you will. That's what Ray looks like. It looks like a bowl. Me, and I stole this from Samuel's brother Timothy. Who wants a diamond? Me. Well, that's what me looks like. It's a diamond shape. It's always a diamond shape. That's the thing about shape notes. They never vary from their shape. Me is always a diamond shape, okay? Fa is this flag shape. I'll find that button in a moment. Is this flag shape right here? F, fa, flag, okay? You got that? Sol, not so, but sol, is an oval. Sol, oval, okay? Again, I know, it's dumb, but it's okay. Okay, la. And go figure. I don't know. I haven't found anything for that one. I'm sure somebody at some point is going to come to me and say, hey, I know a good way to remember law. Please do, because I don't know. I just know, remember everyone else, and if you know where law is, it's the rectangle. So maybe you can think of it as putting two L's together, and it turns into a rectangle. I don't know. There's some way of remembering that, but law is that rectangle shape. T looks sort of like a colored in Wi-Fi symbol for you that are younger, and for those of you who go, I don't know what a Wi-Fi symbol looks like, maybe it's an ice cream cone shape. So that's one octave, okay? Octave meaning eight, okay? Just like octopus or octagon, there's 8 intervals in between do from one octave to the next, okay? So we're going to do some practicing inside of this scale. I'm practicing a way to learn what the pitches sound like. Now I'm going to give you the cheater way. If you're at home and you've got a keyboard or you've got a piano, find C. Okay? C is this note right here. Your keyboard is made up in intervals of black keys and white keys. And when there's 2 black keys and 3 black keys, that helps you know where the notes are. So if you can find the 2 black keys and go on the left side of those black keys, that's where C starts. If you just play all the white notes, Okay? So if you want to sit down and learn the song, you can look at the shapes, know what the shapes are, just pick out C as your do. Most likely the key that the song is written in is not going to be that key. But it doesn't matter. We're not trying to sing it, we're just trying to learn what the melody sounds like. So that's the cheater way. And guess what? I'm a cheater. I may sit down sometime and get a piece of music and sit down with a keyboard or my guitar and start picking out the melody of the song that way. So that's an easy way to figure out where all of those notes are within the scale, because there's just 8 white keys, and you know that they represent the different shapes. Okay, so I'm going to teach you a song real quick. And again, I don't care whether you like it or not. It's just one that I wrote to help us. I didn't write the words, by the way. But I wrote the melody to this song for a teaching purpose. And you're going to go, that's kind of an odd melody. It is an odd melody, but that's okay. It's going to help us learn something. So this song says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful." Okay? Praise is beautiful in the sight of God. Okay? All right, so I'll sing the melody for you. And the rhythm's a little bit different too, so it's okay. I'm not embarrassed to sing a solo. Even if my voice cracks, just carry on. It may happen. But I'll teach you this melody, and then we're going to sing it together. And then I'm going to show you why this is going to help us learn, okay?
Phrase in music, do ti do, but we have to sing ti a lot,
And the easiest way to find what T sounds like is to go back to the Do and find it. So I want to give you a way to remember that. So again, Do, Ti, La, Do, Ti, Do. Okay, now I'm going to show my nerdiness here. The only song that I know of that has Do, Ti, Do in it is from a Broadway musical, West Side Story. Probably a lot of you are like, I don't have a clue what that is. Some of you will, but if you do, I'm going to give you a way to remember what it sounds like. Maria. Remember that song, Maria? That's Do, Ti, Do. Okay. So we're starting at the end, Do, Ti, Do. And we'll just go down, and we'll kind of learn different ways to remember what they sound like in relation to Do. So La, and I don't know if this is still played, but I'm maybe showing my age here, but a lot of you know the old NBC theme, when the peacock would come up, and it would go, doom, doom, doom. Okay, that's Do, La, Fa, Do, La, NBC. So another way to remember that is Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. Okay, let's turn on the Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. I'd like to find the number real quick, unless one of you men know where it's at and can tell me.
Number 3.
Thank you. Alright, so here's another way to remember what Do Law sounds like. Let's go over to the middle of the second page, okay? And where it starts in, and His glory is exalted, okay? Let's sing this together.
So, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, far above the earth and sky.
The climactic part of this song, that is the height of this song, is
and His glory. Do, La.
Okay, that may be another way to remember. If you can't remember NBC, maybe you can remember that. In the climax of this song, that's that transition from Do, La. Okay. Do to Re is somewhat simple. Because a lot of us have learned from a very young age to go Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do. Do y'all sing The Battle Belongs to the Lord? Okay, so y'all sing that song.
We sing glory, we sing His glory. We sing glory, honor.
Okay, that's Do Re, that's what it sounds like. It's relatively easy because there's not much space between Do and Re.
Do me, praise the Lord, say, can you?
Okay, whatever your flavor there, Do me. Another one is the song, I Need Thee Every Hour. Y'all know that song?
I need thee every hour, that's Do me. I need Do me.
Do Fa, I'm going to get something patriotic, not American, but Texan, which is far more important, right?
Eyes of Texas are upon you.
That's what's called a fourth. Goes from Do to Fa. That's a fourth.
Do, Fa, the eyes, Do, Fa.
That one's a little bit harder sometimes to remember. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to start, we're going to go up the scale, we're going to go down the scale, then we're going to go up the scale in a third and a fifth. That is Do, Mi, So, Do. And then we're going to do some in relation to Do. Then we're going to do a couple little skipping patterns. And like I said, we're going to mess up. That's okay. We're going to do this part of it every single night so we can remember what these sound like and we can get them stuck in our hearts and our minds. All right, all together, we're going to go up the scale, all the way up the octave and then back down the octave.
No.
Then we'll come back down the scale in a moment.
Do, mi, re, fa, mi, sa, fa, la, so, ti, la, do, ti, re, do, do, fa, ti, so, la, fa, so, mi, fa, re, mi, do, re, ti, do.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so we're going to talk about rhythm a lot this week, and we're not going to get into rhythm a great deal tonight. Tomorrow night, we're going to focus on rhythm. We're going to try to make sure that we understand some of the basics of rhythm. We as Southerners are by nature very lazy with rhythm, myself included. We don't necessarily sing a lot of songs like the rhythm. That's okay as long as we're singing together. But we're going to look at some songs that we've sung for many, many years and talk about the way that it was written. It might be a little different from the way we sung it. And I'm not trying to get you to change the way that you sing it. I just want you to see what it looks like on paper. Okay? That's the purpose of it. So again, not trying to change the way we sing songs. We're just doing that for learning purposes. So each note has not only a measure of pitch, but also a measure of time. And when we look at a note, we can tell how long we're supposed to sing, or how short we're supposed to sing, or how long or short we're not supposed to sing. Okay? So, if we're in 4-4 time, and what 4-4 time is, it means that each measure is going to have 4 beats inside of that measure. And the quarter note is going to get 1 beat. That's this note right here. It's probably the most common note in our hymns, especially our Southern gospel hymns. It and the eighth note are the most common notes that we're going to sing. And this quarter note is 1. Well, if that's 1, and this is half of 1, then it's half a beat, right? It's called an eighth note. Now, why is it called an eighth note if it gets half? That's a good question, isn't it? Okay? If a whole gets 4, okay, it's not the quarter note that has 1 beat that's called a whole note. It's a quarter of the measure, okay? 1/4 of the measure, because there's 4 in the measure, okay? Music is math, okay? Simple math. A whole note gets 4 beats. A half note gets 2 beats. A quarter note gets 1 beat. An eighth note gets half a beat. And a 16th note gets a quarter of a beat, okay? So we have rests, which tell us to rest. That's difficult, right? It tells us not to sing. And we're going to do some practicing on rest this week. That's usually where we have some trouble. And it'll be fun. It'll be fun. And we'll all learn together. And we'll mess up together. But we're going to learn to sing some patterns with a lot of rests in them. A whole rest looks like an upside down hat. Okay? See that hat shape? A half rest looks like a right side up hat. Okay? This means we're going to rest for the entire measure. This means we're going to rest for half the measure. This one that looks sort of like a lightning bolt, and I haven't looked in this book to make sure that, but I believe that's how they, yes it is, that is the way that they notate a quarter rest. Sometimes there's different shapes, especially in our older books, there's a Z shape with a dot, and that's also a quarter rest. I don't know, if you find one in there, let me know, but I think that in this book they use this sort of lightning bolt shape to notate where a quarter rest is, where we don't sing for 1 beat. An eighth rest looks like this sort of curly-looking 7 shape, and it means that we're not going to sing for a half a beat. And this one, which is not super common, but is common to some extent in some songs, well, we're not going to sing for a quarter of a beat, which is a very short pause in a song. We will see some of that this week as we learn some new songs. So any way that you want to mix and match inside, from bar to bar, inside of a measure, as long as you can add all of your notes and rests up to 4, you can fill up a measure. But you can't put any more inside of there unless you've got what's called a triplet. Right?
okay? But in its simplicity, you can put
a combination of notes and rest inside of a measure. Maybe you put 4/16th notes, that's one beat, and 2/8th notes, which is also one beat. And then you put a half note. Well, your measure's full because you've just got one beat, two beats, three and four. You've got four beats, okay? Does that make sense? Nod your head if that kind of makes sense. Shake your head no if it doesn't. Okay, Samuel quit it. Okay, so the same is true with the rest. And we could mix and match these. We might have a half, which is your beats one and two. So we still got three and four left. So maybe we want to put a quarter rest there for beat three. So we'd sing on one and two, rest on three, and then maybe we wanted to sing two notes for the last beat, which would be these two. So you get one half, that's one, that's two, that's three and four, or three and four, or three and four. It's all about mathematics inside of measures, okay? Now, why does that matter? Because if you're learning the rhythm of a song, here's the easiest way I know to learn the rhythm of a song. Do it a measure at a time. And you can take the measure, and you can count the measure out, and then you can look. And we're going to actually learn how to do some of this week, learning how to count these various rhythms. So that if you are at home and you're trying to learn rhythm, you'll have the tools to do this. And we'll try to make some printouts available. Got good? All this stuff we will have in printout format for you at the end of the week. Okay, I don't want to give it to you now. But we'll give it to you at the end of the week. We'll have that available. And everything we cover will be inside that printout. Okay, so let's just do some simple rhythm exercises. It's going to sound monotone because we're not going to vary in pitch. We're just going to sing do. We're going to sound silly. Doesn't matter. We're just starting out small and we're going to build, okay? So a whole note, okay? If I'm in 4/4 time and I'm the director, I'm the song leader, and I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4. We're going to start that note on 1. We're not going to finish singing until I'm done with 4, okay? Okay? Everybody together. Do, do. later on in the week. But we're going to mix and match. We're going to have some various rhythms integrated within the scale to make this a little more challenging than just singing 1, 2, 3, 4. But tonight, this is as complicated as we're going to get on rhythm. Okay, so I've mentioned time signature several times and mentioned that the time signature is one of the most important elements of the roadmap of music that is the grand scale. Because if you don't pay attention to the time signature, everything else is going to be messed up. Okay? In some of the newer hymnals, you might look up where the time signature is, and you don't see a 4 over a 4, you're going to see this C shape, which means common time. Okay? Because 4-4 is the most common time. And that's what that's still a time signature, they just notate with a C. And I don't understand why, because I know a lot of you probably at home have the song for worship and praise, and there's some of the songs that have 4-4, and some of them have a C shape, and it's just very confusing to me, and I don't know why they do it different ways, but they do. So just so you'll know what that means, that's what that means. And the way that we're learning tonight, learning our rhythm, we're learning it based on 4-4, but once you start changing time signatures, not everything is the same. So if we go to this time signature right here, which is a 4 over a 2, now we've changed everything. Because the quarter note no longer gets one beat. The half note does. That's somewhat odd, isn't it? That's somewhat odd. But there's a lot of different odd time signatures that we have that we're not going to see a whole lot of. But most of what we're going to see in our songbooks are 4-4, 3-4, 2-4. We have quite a few 12 over 8, especially the old hymnals in your sacred selection books. There's quite a few of those 12 over 8 songs in there. For instance, Troublesome Times Are Here, Filling Men's Hearts With Fear. And I think you still be it like 4-4, but you're actually getting 12 in there. I mean, it's quick, and the notes are quick, and it's very choppy. And when you see a 12 over 8 song, it's not meant to be sung. Troublesome times are here. The reason they wrote it in 12-8 is so it would be peppy, and it would kind of have that upbeat to it, okay? Time signatures sometimes dictate the tempo of a song, which the tempo is the speed at which the song is being sung. Pay attention to that. 3-4 songs typically are meant to be sung slower. 4-4 songs are meant typically to be sung a little faster. Your 2 over 2 songs are typically very slow, okay? Because that's where the half note is getting one beat. And the reason they do that is because there may not be near as many words, and you don't have to find a lot of rhythm within the song. It's meant to be slow because of the lack of words that are in the song. A 6 over 8, trying to think of a good example of a 6 over 8 that we don't know. let me see here. Probably flipped to one quite quick. If one of you guys finds one faster than me, take time to be holy. What number is that?
731.
Okay, so here's a 6-8 song, and would you guess the tempo is fast or slow? I mean, we know the song, right? So you already know. Have you ever heard anybody sing this song really fast? I haven't. Now, does that mean that every 6-8 song is to be sung as slow as this one? No. But a lot of that depends on what notes they use within the measure. So our first one that we have is a quarter note. But because the eighth note gets one beat, this quarter note is going to get two beats, okay? So it's going to act like a half note, okay? But it's also got a dot, okay? I don't have my dot slide up here. Okay, I just did that. That may be tomorrow. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you what that means. It's going to mean that we're going to apply half of the note's value back to the note, okay? That may sound confusing, but stick with me, okay? So if we got a quarter note, that's one beat, right? And we got that, so we're adding half of the quarter back to the quarter, okay? What's half of a quarter? What's half of one? It's half, right? So it's 1.5 beats, okay? It's not as complicated as it sounds. And so in this song, though,
because the quarter note is actually getting two beats, because an eighth note's getting one beat, that means that this is three beats, okay?
You with me? That's math.
Not that complicated. And then you've got three eighth notes that follow it, which make up the other three in the measure, okay? So, take, that's three, okay? Take, time to be, see that? One, two, three, four, five, six. Take, time to be holy. Okay? You see how that's, we're not just moving our hands up here, we're actually trying to tell you where in the song we're at. And every one of those is important because it helps everybody stay together. Especially for me, the song leader, if I'm lost in the song, if I know where that downbeat is and I know where I'm supposed to go back to, I know exactly where I'm supposed to pick the song back up. That's especially helpful when you're learning a song. And this week, I'm going to ask everybody, men, women, kids, everybody, to be time with me at certain times so that we can all get used to that and read the song as we're doing that. It'll help us to learn the songs. All right, so we're about to run out of time for tonight, and we're going to sing a couple more songs. Turn to 8:28.
Would be going, Lord, make us instruments, but it's not. It's going very quickly. It's going, Lord, make us instruments of our peace.
Okay. So we're not going to be moving very fast, even though my hand's moving fast. So don't get confused by that. All right. So let's look at the roadmap of the song. We've got a starting section on the first page. And then we've got verse 1 that actually starts, so we're actually starting with the refrain, starting with the chorus of the song. And we're going to sing verse 1 after we finish singing the chorus the first time through. And it goes all the way down to the bottom, and it says, DC all fine, okay? We're going to talk about this a little bit later in more detail, but DC means de capo. I'm sorry, I know this sounds rather crude, but you've heard the phrase decapitated. It means go to the head of the song. That's what it means. De capo, the head, capo. Okay, I know, but that's where that word came from, capo. It means the head. The head is the beginning of the song. DC alpha and A. So what's it telling us to do? Go back to the head of the song, to the start of the song. You're going to see that all over the place in your hymnal, DC. And anytime you see DC, it means go back. Now, fine means till the end. Finish, fine, the end, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to sing through the chorus, sing verse 1, go back to the head, back to the start, de capo, and we're going to go back and sing verse 2, back to the head, and sing the song all the way until we find fine. And fine is at the end of the chorus, okay? So that can be confusing if you don't know what fine means. Fine doesn't mean we finish the song the first time through. There's somewhere notated in our roadmap that tells us where fine is going to happen. And it's also confusing that they put it right here at the end of verse 1 and verse 2. So when do you fine? Well, if there's one verse and there's two verses, we know we're singing both verses. Okay? So sometimes it's just about using a little bit of logic in how they wrote the song. So chorus, first verse, chorus, second verse, chorus, and that's the end.
Lord, make us
learned some things about singing praises to you. Lord, help us to take these things that we learn and apply them to our lives that we may be able to worship you in song to you. Lord, when we sing to you, let us pay attention to the